South Africa has been rocked by the second assassination of a private security company owner. With me is Willem Els of the Institute for Security Studies. Welcome, Willem.
Good afternoon, Chris. Thank you.
DJ Warras, gunned down in the Johannesburg CBD under a CCTV camera. No words.
Yeah, indeed. You know, in the first place, you know, we was just said that the investigation is still ongoing, so we don't have a lot of information to our disposal as yet, so we can make a few deductions and we can look at your open source information, but also at the information by the police statements. So yes, you know, and when you look at that, it resembles very closely the assassination of AKA down in Durban. You know, also CCTV cameras in front of everybody, etc. And the linkage there, maybe both of them in the music industry and so on. But we can't draw any parallels or anything towards that at this stage because of limited information. But also, as you mentioned, apart from being quite a popular DJ and has been there for some time, he's got a huge following. But he also had some other ventures where he looked at the private security industry, co-owner of a company that was actually working in the CBD, according to the information, and then. There might be some links there, but if you look at the CCTV camera and so on, you know, it was clearly no robbery. It was not a robbery attempt. They didn't take anything, walked up to him, shot him, and turned around and ran away. And that is very typical of what we see with the modus operandi of Yunkabis that are coming up and to do the contract killings.
Willem, he had been very vocal about cleaning up the inner city and reclaiming hijacked buildings. And apparently he had received threats from people in that very building where he was shot and had even taken out 5 protection orders.
Yeah, if you look at the CBD of Johannesburg, you know, it is a free-for-all. They allowed it to deteriorate to such an extent that you've got a lot of hijacked buildings. And these hijacked buildings and all the other crime that is happening there, it's just not unrelated or unconnected. So it's organized syndicates that are behind that, and they are protected at the highest echelons. And your challenge that you sit with there is that I think maybe he stepped on a few toes. He was coming too close for their own sort of experience. And then what you see at the end of the day, due to the, and I would like it to call it the collapse of our law and order pillar in our functioning state, or was supposed to be a functioning state, we see that these people can actually function almost without impunity. And that is your challenge that you are sitting with. If you have a problem, you're making a lot of money, you want to remove a problem, you call in the Inkabi gets paid a few thousand rand, and it just removes your problem. And it seems that is sort of the way to go amongst your organized crime syndicates in order to remove their challenges.
Now, there have been battles for control of the inner city. Do you think this could turn into a full-scale war?
It can, you know, and it all depends how it has been managed. So if governments step up, if the city council step up and they do the right things and they have the right strategies and they implement the right plans, we can avoid that. We will have to do that in order to stop it, because the stronger these syndicates become, the more brazen they become, the more blatant they will be in enforcing and stamping their rule and their authority compared to that of the rule of law. So it is now maybe the ideal opportunity, while everything is now being scrutinized, while Ekurhuleni is being scrutinized, that Johannesburg City Council step up to the challenge, but also that the police step up to the challenge, because at the end of the day, it is their mandate and they have to fulfill it.
But once again, we have had long-standing allegations of corruption in relation to hijacked buildings.
Yeah, unfortunately, and then we've spoken about that before, Chris, your organized crime syndicates function on different levels. And you've got your futsal level, it goes up and up, organized. But right at the top where your kingpins are, those kingpins are very often in government, in a political sphere, because they need to be able to afford protection for these syndicates. And these syndicates won't be so brazen if they don't know that they are being well protected. And it came out in the Kadmatlala case and so on, that is currently before court. And I think much more will actually come out there. But also what we see that came out is, and that's what we've been saying for a long time, is that on a senior political or police level, you also need that protection. And that came out how that operates also in the recent testimonies in front of the commission as well as at the ROC committee. And, you know, if we don't get the message by now as government to step up and to change the status quo and to come up with real good strategies in order to reclaim our cities and our country as I mentioned, your functioning state has got certain pillars. And one of the most important ones is your pillar of law and order, the rule of law. If you cannot strengthen that pillar, you know, once that pillar comes down, it will just bring down all the other pillars as well, one by one. And so that is where we are at the moment. Our law and order, our rule of law pillar has completely, from your intelligence to your investigating, your policing, to your judiciary, it is really in serious trouble. And if we don't start to act on it now, we might not have a country to work for and to live for.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car driving.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
Willem, I don't know if you saw the social media post that Warwick Stark had made about Kat Matlala, and then people were joking, I hope, that he could get killed, and he was still saying, well, he hoped he would make it to Christmas. Very chilling.
Very telling. And yeah, we also see that Witness D also made that predictions once he started to speak out, you know. And you know, people weren't, it might have been a joke or it might have been something in a lighter mode, but he would not have said that if maybe he didn't have some further information. Because, of course, they will not bring out all those information. You know, but also if you look another angle, when I did a little bit of research on him and to see who he is, because of course, you know, he's a very popular DJ, fluent in Afrikaans, English, and Zulu. He's got a huge following across broad. He was very popular. But also, we see from KZN, if you look at his the especially the security companies. You know what's happening with your taxi bosses and with the taxi industry, and that's for any other sort of industry that want to exploit situations like what is happening with especially with the taxi industry. They register their own security companies, so every taxi boss has got his own security company, and that security company then has access to firearms and all the other things and so on. And we don't know if they always use those firearms for what it was sort of bought and provided for. And that is, I think, fueling a lot of the taxi violence and associations that we have. But we see that also, it seems from a little bit of research in depth, that DJ Warwick also went into partnership with one of the taxi bosses or families, and they are also partners in his security company. We don't say that of course that it is, and they're doing a lot of things wrong there, but that is just a red light that is flickering there, that maybe there could have been something to that side. And that is what makes this one so interesting. As we say, you know, he's made a lot of noise, he alienated some people, but also being involved with a cleaning up operation where he's stepping on toes of other syndicates. So all of that could have been a combination of that, or it could have been one of them that triggered this assassination.
Mm. And this came on the eve of Witness D, Marius Vlam van der Merwe, who is being laid to rest today. It is memorial service.
Yeah, it is so sad, you know, and that brings to, that highlights just once again, you know, the failure of the system. If you look at your witness protection programs, legislation, your whistleblower legislation, goes back to Babita Deokaran. It goes back to all these others. I mean, yesterday there was an article where they highlighted quite a few forensic investigators, auditors that have been eliminated. They've been taken out. And what is the protection of these people? They come to the fort, they discover some things, and do the system fail them? I believe the system is really failing them. We are not doing what we're supposed to do. Otherwise, we would not have had all these people that were deceased. But remember, that's all part of your organized crime fraternity, your center system intimidating your people from coming forth, intimidating people from not being whistleblowers, etc., etc. And that is where from. When he stuck his neck out, he stuck it out very far, and he knew that that there's going to be some consequences, and he mentioned that. And then now we see that there's some reports that he refused the witness protection program. Of course, it is voluntary, and now that will all come out in the washing. But at the end of the day, what the system as it is at the moment is not very user-friendly towards the whistleblower. It's very intrusive. And if it works, it really takes a lot from the whistleblower, a lot of sacrifice, etc., in order to do so. I think we can make it much more user friendly. We can go and have a look at other countries, especially countries that are in some of the challenges like us with your mafia style groups that are operating the extortion and elimination. Like for instance, Italy. How do they deal with that? And can we learn from their perspective and how they are doing it in countries like for instance Mexico. We are also in that upper quadrant with Mexico and with Italy if you look at your mafia state index. So we can learn from them, but you know, we can talk about this for a very long time. If there are no actions and there's no political will, we're going to have this discussion in 2 years' time again.
Willem, Witness D not only testified at the Matlanga Commission, but he had also vowed to go after the Zama Zamas and expose their links to state officials. So we don't know what the real reason was that he was taken out, just as we don't know what the real reason is that DJ Warras was taken out. But we are looking at two men with private security companies, their own private security companies, armed to the teeth. Mm-hmm. And they were gunned down in broad daylight, couldn't protect themselves. Where does it leave the rest of us?
Yeah. You see, the rest of us don't have access to or always access to the security measures that they do have to. Maybe, you know, whenever you work on this type of protection, you normally do it intelligence-based and evidence-based and do an analysis. And maybe the analysis of his safety was not graded up to that extent that he needed bodyguards to protect him. Maybe it's always a step to walk around with a security detail. You know, it's for some people it's a status symbol, but normally for the normal people it's a step to always work under that circumstances. And so we don't know why and if he had any other security details that were just following or whatever and what was in place. But obviously your syndicates and your assassins, they do their homework. They do their recce. They understand where they select the spots where they do it. And they also know what your detail is, your security detail, et cetera, to minimize the risk for them, but also to maximize their success. So, we don't know, but it is really tragic.
So the hitmen in South Africa, if they want to get you, they will. Isn't that what has just been proven?
Unfortunately so, you know, if you look at all the assassinations, if you look at the people, the protection, the people that have been protected, especially why the PKTT was there in the first place to investigate those cases. And you see how these Inkabis, or these Inkabis as they refer to that, to these assassins, it is as if they just function with impunity because they know they've got protection, they do their homework, and if they want to take you out, they take you out. You know, if there's a price, if there's money involved, and it's all about quick money for them as well, and if they want to take you out, need to take you out, they find a way to do that.
Well, so what you're saying, if somebody wants you dead in this country, you're dead.
There's a way to do it, unfortunately, and you know, unfortunately, because of the nature of organized crime, it's about money, and as long as there's funding to do so, they will be able to do that.
Willem, how do you rate the response of the police to these two assassinations?
Well, you know, we can see because it's high profile, we saw that even the acting and the provincial commissioner was on the scene, and they also got involved. So what we would like to see is, and it will maybe happen, you know, as we look at your detective services, you know, there's the average I read the other day, the average workload of a detective at your busy station is about 200 investigations, 200 dockets per month that this person has to investigate. And so even if it were 50, it's way too many for one detective to investigate, especially with the limited resources and also the expertise that is left in the police. So what we would like to see here is that they are going to maybe pull again a task team or some dedicated investigators to get together, look at intelligence, and look at hopefully what they are doing nowadays also is they follow the model of your prosecution, prosecutor-guided investigation. They bring in the MPA on an early stage, minimize their mistakes that they can do with warrants of arrest and all the other things, and just make sure that everything is perfect when they decide to take this case to court. So that is what we think is going to happen here, because of the prominence of the case also. But it is sad that it only happens in prominent cases and not for you and me when we have someone that have been killed to be investigated.
But even in the case of prominent people being assassinated, years later, the killers have not been arrested.
Unfortunately so. You know, if you look, and we spoke about that earlier as well, you know, the detection rate in South Africa is 12.5% for crime. For robberies, it is even lower, it's 9%. That means that if you kill someone, you got a 12.5% of ending up in prison. So, you know, if you're a gambler, the odds are on your side. Unfortunately, Willem, that is the situation.
Willem, as a researcher, expert researcher into organized crime, what do these hitmen charge?
It depends, you know, and then you realize how cheap life has become. You know, it depends on the profile of the person, depends on difficulty and all of a sudden, and the contract being given out. It's anything from about 5,000 to 10,000 rand to hundreds of thousands of rands.
What do you think the DJ's hit would have cost?
Yeah, this one, because it's quite prominent and so on, and also, you know, the risk to them is because of the heightened sort of urgency about it, there will be better investigation. So your chances of being caught are there. So so I think that would have been in the higher sort of a quarter of your sort of contracts.
Okay. Any final thoughts on this era of assassinations in South Africa, Willem?
You know, yeah, we always try to remain positive. You know, we have to. We're a resilient nation. And we hope that the outcome that is, the interim report that is now being silenced, we will hope that the implementation of that will be, because we believe that, you know, organized crime, your assassinations, your killing of your DJs, your illegal mining, your cash and transit, all of them are interlinked. All of them work together and all of them have some link at some stage. And all of them, only one thing in mind, and that is making off lots of money and of course then benefiting these people that are working with them. And as I mentioned earlier another interview, you know, your state embedded actors that are facilitating and protecting these people, if we come up with a strategy to minimize that with our consequences, I think we will be able to cut off the head of the snake and then start again afresh.
Thank you. That was Willem Els of the Institute for Security Studies speaking to BizNews about South Africa becoming assassination nation. I'm Christine. Thank you, Willem.